by Jonathan Hutton of Outkick. You know him, you love him, everybody knows him. Guy's so popular, he doesn't even, probably shouldn't even be on this show just because he's so popular. But Hutton, I'm so glad that you're joining us. Talk a little Titans football, man. How you doing?
Zach, you were too kind. The popularity meter is not nearly as high as the lineup at 560 with the promos of Bill King and everyone else with Plaster and, of course, John Burton, that you guys apparently hate, Zach. I don't know why.
Hey, to be fair, he started it.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, that's fair, too. I respect that. I respect that you guys keep it going. Let's put it that way.
At some point, it's going to happen that we're just going to have a fight. We're going to have a celebrity boxing match. So, Hutton, whoever you're wanting to beat up in the Nashville media scene, just let us know, and we'll get it set up.
Koharski. You know, I'll bring Koharski over. And, I've been looking for the platform to do that, and he's been sitting to my right for the last 11 years. It's about time we take it to the ring.
Sitting at your right, about to catch the left, right? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. Well, he would win the sparring battle promo. He would sell the fight, and then I would have to finish it.
Speaking of him, too, by the way, obviously we're going to talk Titans. Derrick Henry at the presser today. He got a nice foot video. Is he just really into feet?
Oh, so he was talking about this during the commercial breaks of our show today. So Paul videoed the feet of Henry as he's walking off, just his shoes, like from the podium to the door. And, you know, the responses are just glorious, just, you know, ripping him for taking the video. And his thing was he was following up on something he did with Pro Football Doc, where the gait of whatever he was doing at practice, Paul videos Henry walking off, hoping that David Chow, Dr. Chow, would respond to it. And instead, he got like 27,000 video views and over 100 responses asking him how weird he was. And did he have a foot fetish and if that was for Rex Ryan. So it was pretty great.
Oh, man, Rex Ryan just catching a stray. I love it. It's always a good thing. All right, so let's talk a little Titans-Bengals coming up. Obviously, Derrick Henry coming back. He chuckled inside the media time today that he said, you know, when asked, are you going to play this Saturday? He said, you know, we'll see how it goes. I think we would all be very shocked if Derrick Henry's not suited up, ready to go come Saturday.
Yeah, he's playing. He's playing. And he was playing last week if the Titans went to Houston and for some reason lost and they didn't lock up the bye week. Like, I firmly believe he was activated the week prior for the week of the Houston game, not to play against the Texans, but to give him some practice reps in case they needed him during wild card weekend. This guy has been on course to return for the postseason whenever the postseason starts. And for those who need further confirmation of it, before today, you've got team employees like Jim Wyatt who are tweeting out what the Titans are wearing on Saturday and using Henry as the example of the uniform combination. There's been no denying it, even though Vrabel doesn't want to specifically say it. And this is the first time that I can remember that they put a guy on who's coming off of injured reserve but not yet on the active roster, speaking with the media prior to him being a part of the actual roster itself. So the dude's playing, and it's a great sign for the Titans as they go into the postseason because he is the man. The question is, how close to the king can he be right out of the gate? Because we haven't seen him since the Indianapolis game, and we've never seen him come off of an injury before. I'm not putting anything past him, Zach, but there are a lot of questions that are left unanswered. But I do know this. The Super Bowl run's not happening without him. They needed him back, and they've got him back just at the right time.
Well, and that's something we were talking about just before on the segment is that, you know, there's so much talk right now going on about Derrick Henry, and that's become the focal point. Whether or not you're a Titans fan, Bengals fan, or I imagine the Bengals front office where they're looking right now trying to strategize that coaching department, everything, trying to strategize for Derrick Henry. But the real question kind of comes up of, you know, the player that hasn't shown up the most in the playoffs for the Tennessee Titans, especially of lately, is Ryan Tannehill. How much of a problem is, or not problem, but how much of a part of it is he have to be this time around? Can he shake those playoff cobwebs almost he gets?
Yeah, and you know, the one example would be the Baltimore game of last year where it got to a point where they're down 17-0. They had to go make some throws, had to make some plays, and in the fourth quarter, he's 3 of 6 passing in a crucial time period for like 25, 26 yards. I mean, it wasn't great. We've seen him go on the road at New England and throw for a whopping 78 yards, and this team won. We've seen them double up and go to Baltimore and win. And he made some nice throws early 2 years ago, and then that game trickled off late. And then, of course, trying to keep up with Mahomes in the AFC Championship game is a story in and of itself. To me, Zach, it's not as much about the stats with Ryan Tannehill. It is about the moment. And quarterbacks, whether you like it or not, are defined by the moment. And the moments happen in the postseason. They don't happen in the regular season. They do as a young quarterback, but not as a veteran. And now in his third year into the postseason with the Titans and two wins away from a Super Bowl, Tannehill can do a lot to change the minds of some doubters. And if he doesn't change their mind, he quiets them, even though they may still feel the same way about him. Because a Super Bowl quarterback is a lot different than just a good regular season quarterback. And Tannehill, while we sit here and watch him up close and personal, make some really nice plays during the regular season, there's nothing whopping about the stat sheet come playoff time. And it's all about Henry during the playoffs. There's no denying that either. I mean, Henry is the horsepower to the offense's firepower. And that engine's not running well unless he's got the horse behind it. But Tannehill is going to have to step up and make some huge throws throughout this postseason run, if the Titans are going to accomplish what they're capable of. It can't all be about the run game. And whenever teams actually do shut down the run game, the question is Tannehill ready for the moment? Not the stat sheet, because then you throw all that away. I can't wait to see how they come out and play in this game, because the Bengals are going to bite on the run. They know it. They know this Titans offense. And for the first time in a long time, We've got a chance to watch Tannehill with A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Derrick Henry on the field. They only did that 120 snaps during the regular season. So it's not like we have a lot of options to look back on and compare to. I'm intrigued by how they start the postseason out.
Talking with Jonathan Hutton of Outkick 360. You can follow him on Twitter at Hutton Outkick. Keeping with the Ryan Tannehill side of things, obviously there is a deep-rooted connection with Zach Taylor, head coach now of the Bengals, but back in Tannehill's time with the Miami Dolphins, he was the assistant quarterback coach, then the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. Do you look at that and say he knows not only what Tannehill is tremendous at, but he also knows what he's not tremendous at?
Yes, but I think that's fair, but I also would say, you know, it's very difficult to stop what the great quarterbacks are really great at. You know, like, you go into a game against, and I'm not trying to compare Brady to Tannehill, they're not in the same stratosphere, but Brady is going to throw it 40 times a game, and there's not going to be a lot of deep shots, but when there are, he's throwing to Mike Evans and Gronk, and you know that going in. The question is, can you stop it? Most of the time, you can't. So with Tannehill, I think the book is out that he is excellent when it comes to play action. Well, the Titans don't necessarily have to have the run game going for play action. They need the threat of the run game for their play action. And I think now with the full arsenal, you know, the question is, can you stop the play action pass and also load the box? And Tannehill last year put up some incredible numbers with a healthy Henry and a 1,000-yard receiver in A.J. Brown. And I think people know about what the makeup of the quarterback. The book's out on Tannehill throughout his entire career. I think that Zach Taylor, who, by the way, I met him for the first time at the Combine 2 years ago. This is right before this is right after the trade. So Mariota was still the starter. And Taylor sat down. This is the first year he took the job in Cincinnati. And he sat down, and we were just chatting. And then, like, mid-sentence, he stopped. He goes, oh, by the way, when we get done here, I want to tell you about Tannehill. He was glowing reviews about Tannehill and his time in Miami, because it hit him that he was on in Nashville at the time when he sat down. So I think they have a ton of respect for each other. And maybe he's got, you know, a tick here or two or one or two that he could point back on and say, you know what, when he does this with his left foot, it's a run. I doubt at this point that knowledge back in Miami is going to play much of a factor with what happens and how things roll on Saturday. Much like last year's game is not going to play much of a factor in this, because for everyone talking about how the Bengals beat the Titans last year, it's a completely different matchup this go around with Ja'Marr Chase than the weapons that beat the Titans last year. There's a completely new look to their offense with the firepower that they have. I would say the similar fashion here with Tannehill and the Titans compared to what Taylor would have coached him with the talent around him in Miami. It's vastly different.
What's the reaction, though, if, you know, we're talking about here, you know, we could pick which is more important, Derrick Henry having a good game, Tannehill having a good game, or, you know, obviously everybody wants both. But if the reaction is, you know, we see the situation of a la that Chiefs game years ago or whatever, the Ravens game last year, mm-hmm. that the Titans go down, and effectively we all know when the Titans go down, it shuts down Henry essentially. When they go down multiple scores, they have to rely on Tannehill, and Tannehill doesn't come back. Say the Bengals go up 14-0, and they end up finding the win. Titans get bounced out of their first game in the playoffs, not the first round, so to say. But what's the reaction for Tannehill next season? Is this the starter for the Tennessee Titans, or do they start looking somewhere else that they try to find a guy that can actually keep them in the ballgame come playoff time?
He's their guy. That's one thing they don't ask questions about is their quarterback. I feel as though they trust him completely, the same way they trust Henry. And he's the steady force. The one thing I think that's undeniable is with all of the injuries that they sustained this year, the one that we can wholeheartedly agree on is if Tannehill went down during that same stretch, there's no way the Titans are in the position that they're in. So I think he's done enough during the stretch, albeit his stats are not what they were. He's the reason why they have the number one seed right now. And not just based on one play, but the one play example is in Houston in the fourth quarter where he evades the sack somehow and then finds Nick Westbrook-Ikhina that keeps the drive alive. When I firmly believe if they punt right there, Houston's getting the ball and they're going to score with the way that game was going. And I'll say, you know, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose. So if he puts up a 78-yard performance and has a game like he played against the Houston Texans at Nissan Stadium where he throws four picks and the Titans turn it over five times, you know, I'm singing a different tune on Monday than what I'm saying right now. But, like, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so Henry doesn't get going and they don't score a lot of points. I would also say that would also mean – that the Titans' pass rush did not get pressure on Burrow with four, that they were not able to slow down Ja'Marr Chase. All of that's critical. And all of those things factor into why they sustained what they did whenever Henry and everyone else on that roster went to either IR or to the training room. Because the defense stepped up, too. And the defense has been bend but don't break. They allow field goals, not touchdowns, in some very critical moments early in games that keep the Titans sluggish offense at times, needing to wake up. It gives them time to do that. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But 12 wins is 12 wins, and the circumstances involved in all of that is remarkable, given the fact that we've seen 91 dudes play on the same roster Tannehill's played on this year.
Talking once again with Jonathan Hutton at Hutton Outkick. You can follow him there. Check him out on Outkick 360 as well. So, looking at the Bengals, you see that, you know, it's a young Joe Burrow. It's a young team, essentially, all the way through. Mm-hmm. Do you think this moment's going to be too big for him? Because when I look at Joe Burrow, I see this, like, I wouldn't even say it's an ooze of confidence, but it just feels like he knows he's supposed to be where he is.
Completely agree with that. Like, I think he's just built in a different way. Like, The opposite of Joe Burrow is Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray wilted down the stretch, and he's done it now 2 years in a row, and he did it in the Monday night game in the playoffs yet again. And it wasn't all on him. I would blame a lot of that on Kingsbury. But the thing about Burrow is that dude has been battered and bruised throughout his professional career. You know, he ends last year on IR with a torn ACL because he has a terrible offensive line. And this year, they go with the receiver over the tackle, and again, he has a terrible offensive line. He sacked 51 times. No one was sacked more than Joe Burrow at the quarterback position this year. But there is just this moxie with him that continues to rise to the occasion. And the key with what they've done is the young team stopped turning the football over. They were at one point in early December. I want to say it was the first Sunday of December. They were leading the league in points lost due to turnovers. And over the last four or five games, they have not turned the football over a single time. They have shored that area up, and it has allowed them to, while they make some mistakes, to live through those mistakes and not set up the opposing offense with some terrible field position. That's been their formula. It's not like their offense is the greatest show on turf. And for some reason, I think a lot of people see some scores of what they've done and they compare them to the Chiefs or the Bills and their offensive firepower. When they put up, what, 23 points and 112 yards in the second half on 28 plays against the Raiders last week. I mean, it's not like they went out and treated the Raiders like the Bills treated the Patriots. I think they're very good. I think they're a year ahead of where I thought they would be from contention. And they believe. And I think that's the key, too. They now have reset the bar on what expectations are for that young locker room. And they're learning as they go. It's like a coach who's learning on the job. These guys are living everything for the first time because this franchise has just never been there. And now they have a chance. And they firmly believe they're coming to Nashville to win. They do have an offense that is truly capable of lighting up a scoreboard. The question is, can they be consistent enough to do so? And can Burrow find enough time to keep plays alive? He did it against the Raiders. And now he's facing a fresh defensive front of the Titans. So I'm curious with the matchup myself, but the one thing I don't doubt is that Burrow is going to bring it no matter the score and no matter how down and out that offense may look to start. That guy is going to keep coming back. And there's only I would say half the quarterbacks in the league you could define that way. He's one of them. And think about it like this too, Zach. So during the quarterback era that that's just now coming to an end of the legendary guys who 5 years from now will all be Hall of Famers. Manning is currently a Hall of Famer. You've got Brady, who is undoubtedly the Hall of Fame guy who's playing. He's the GOAT. And then Roethlisberger. In the AFC, it was one of those three quarterbacks that was representing the AFC in the Super Bowl every year during that era. Well, right now in the AFC, you've got Mahomes. Allen is trying to now go through Mahomes to be that guy, and everyone believes he's the second guy and maybe can hop Mahomes in the expectation meter with a great run this year. And then who's number three? Burrow can be that guy in the AFC, believe it or not. And Roethlisberger's retirement allows that door to be open. I'm fascinated by following Burrow. He's very easy to like. He's on a very likable team because they're the underdog. And now they've got the firepower to match the mentality.
Well, now obviously there's still time before then, and opinions change and ideas, new news comes out. But what's your prediction for Saturday?
I think it's a very close game. And that, look, there's reasons to point to all the other games for being the best game. But I think this matchup presents an opportunity for the most exciting game down the stretch. While Bills and Chiefs, and the quarterback matchup there is awesome. Of course, the storyline with the 49ers going on the road and trying to win again in the postseason in Lambeau, and then Matthew Stafford having to go through Brady and Rodgers to get to a Super Bowl, those storylines write itself. This is the smaller market teams head-to-head in this matchup. Traditional, I'm saying, the markets for the league itself and how people view them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an interesting way to kick off the weekend because I think the excitement can be there for a late fourth quarter finish. I don't think the Titans come out sluggish. I just don't see it happening. But I think the Bengals are hot enough to make this a great football game. And I think the Titans win in advance, but the Bengals are perfectly capable of pulling off a late finish as well. I'm taking the Titans, and I bet the Titans on my sports betting app. But I firmly believe that offense can stay with whatever Henry is capable of doing and trying to control the clock. I think Burrow is and Chase and that duo, they're there to show up and show out. And the question is, can Tannehill and AJ Brown do the same? I'm betting yes. I would say 50% of the media and fan base across the country is betting that the Bengals will do that better. I think that's what makes it such a great game.
You can follow him on Twitter at Hutton Outkick and check him out on Outkick 360 as well. Jonathan Hutton, my man, appreciate you so much for joining us today, buddy.
Yeah, I'll save you a seat right beside with JB and myself in the press box. I know I have to sit in between you guys, but I'll see you on Saturday.
Hey, it's a lot of girth. He's more muscle. I just got more fat, but it's just make sure there's plenty of room there, huh?
I'll let you say that to his face.
There you go. All right. Hey, Hutton, thanks so much, buddy. Have a good night.
Anytime. Thank you.
Jonathan Hutton joining us there from Outkick 360. Appreciate him. He's been so great up there in those press.